A new sermon series that will take us through the rest of the season of Lent and take us on a journey to the empty tomb, which we will celebrate on Easter. The series is entitled Undefeated. And quite frankly, it's a series about life, about how life can very easily defeat us. So to begin our reflections upon the things in life that seek to defeat us, we shall start at the beginning, not just the beginning of a sermon series, but the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of time and humanity itself. You'd be so kind to turn to page 3 of your Bible. There you'll find Genesis chapter 3, and we'll read together a familiar story of Adam and Eve. I'll be reading verses 1 through 13. The title of this passage is called The Fall of Man. This is where things went wrong, folks. Just in case you're wondering what that meant, what that means. This is where it all started to go south. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden and in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. The Lord called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Then the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave it to me. She gave me some fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it." Sorry, I chuckle every time I read that. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" Then the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, this is among the most ancient and oldest stories of humanity. Privileged to be among the first stories of your scripture. Lord, may we look upon this familiar passage and may we not just simply look at it as something that has happened in a place far beyond us, in a time long, long ago. But may we read and reflect upon this passage as if it still happens each and every day in our lives. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For Jesus, you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In so many ways, is it not true that life can seem defeating? I mean, think about it. From the time, the moment you are born and slapped in the face by a doctor, you feel defeated, to the time in which you are laid to rest in a grave. Seems so defeating. And everything in between, birth and death, seems to knock us down, beat us up, and defeat us. This, of course, is not true according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus has come to give us victory over all of that which defeats us. In life and in death, nothing can separate us or defeat us from the love of God. We call this the good news, and appropriate response would be amen. Amen. But maybe the amens don't get shouted out so often or loudly because, well, it is true that we still feel quite defeated, is it not? I mean, think about it. Not just that baby that's slapped by a doctor, but think about the children that we're raising. All those kids, those little, especially the littlest ones that are downstairs right now, and all of us who have raised children or grandchildren, what's the first thing we teach them? Don't do that. No, you can't do that. You've got to share your toys with Sally. We have to discipline children. And when we discipline a child, they must feel so defeated. And then as children grow up into young men and young women, instead of sharing toys with one another, we try sharing life with one another. Fall in love. We get married. Try to make a go at it together. And so many times, more often than not, statistics say that sharing life together in relationships often leads to brokenness, difficulty, and yes, even divorce. When those relationships are strained, we all feel quite defeated. And then even outside our most intimate and personal relationships with people, we still find ourselves having to live together and share life together and just share thoughts about life together. And even that feels so defeating. Have you ever ventured onto Facebook or Twitter? I mean, you can't even share a picture of a little cute puppy on Facebook and not see somebody give you a thumbs down, let alone a tweet about President Trump. That will certainly get people moving. Even sharing our thoughts seems so difficult. Nobody can agree on anything, even the most simplest and kind and beautiful things. And when that happens, we feel so defeated. By the way, off the topic a little bit, I have been stewing and working on a new sermon series, maybe for later in the spring or summer, depends on when I get it all wrapped up. I want to tackle social media from the pulpit. I want to talk to you about a Christian's appropriate use of social media. So just be thinking and praying for me as I navigate that series. But for now, it's safe to say that all that's good about social media, it could also be said that there's quite a bit of it that makes you feel defeated. It just feels like sometimes what I'm trying to say is, raise your hand if you agree with me, or give me a nod, or say ouch or something, if you just feel every once in a while like you just can't win. I mean, we all feel that way. You just can't win. I don't care what age you are or where you're at in life. It just feels that way. And then we oftentimes get just a glimpse and we figure things out and we find joy in the most simplest of things. Simple things. Like, I don't know, building a puzzle. Or pulling a weed. Or painting a room. These are just things that I've done recently. And I found joy in them. Or when you find wholeness in these relationships that we try and share with one another, where our relationships seem like, man, they're working. Yes, I've got a hold of this. Or when we do find somehow miraculously common ground in a divided country. Feels like we're together. Or when you find clarity of thought and a real sense of identity and purpose, and you feel like you could conquer the world. Or when you find hope, even in the midst of the most despairing grief and loss of a loved one, you're able to smile. When you find those moments, just when you find those moments, then you also find that you have a great adversary. That there is someone or something or some power beyond your own control that seeks, well, to set you back, trip you up. You find that this adversary is out to deceive you, fill you with doubt, and tempt you with desire, and tell you, you don't got this figured out. This leads me to our scripture passage for today. There is an adversary in this world who seeks to trip us up and set us back. There is an enemy to all that which is good in this world that we claim. There is a reason that Jesus had to die on the cross. And there is one who seeks to distract us from this good news of the gospel. In today's scripture passage, this one, this power, this being is personified as a serpent, snake. And Satan, if you will, seeks to distract us and deceive us with the full intention of defeating us. Used to be in my early Christian life, I didn't really believe in the devil. I thought it was all just animated cartoon stuff. But then I spent some time reading the Bible, and, well, you don't get into it very far until chapter 3 where you see it. And then it comes up again and again throughout the Scriptures that there is this fallen angel who seeks to distract us from God. All the way from Genesis to Revelation chapter 12, you could find a good lesson of this adversary who seeks to defeat us and pull us away from God. It's absolutely true, folks. There is a demonic being who wants nothing more than to deceive you and defeat you and draw you away from God Almighty and the good, loving purposes He has for you. It didn't just happen once in the Garden of Eden, folks. This happens daily in our lives. That's what's so powerful about this story in Genesis. It's not that the story of Adam and Eve happened. It's the fact that the story of Adam and Eve happens every day. And the craftiness that you see the serpent working here in Genesis chapter 3 is but a preview, a warning for all of us here and now on how the devil seeks to defeat you. He's got some tricks in his bag, and I bet you've all seen them once or twice, maybe already today. First, verse 1. What does the serpent do? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the... Did God really say that? Are you sure you heard him right? I mean, maybe he just said something else, and you heard him wrong. I mean, did God really say you can't eat from any of these trees? What is the serpent doing here? He's sowing doubt in the minds of one who's been commanded to follow a particular way. Sowing doubt. Well, yeah, you know what? God maybe really didn't say that. Maybe you're just thinking that. Maybe you dreamed that. It can't really be that true. And so the first trick in the devil's bag of tricks in seeking to defeat us is to sow doubt in our minds that God really cares about what we do in this world. And then after doubt is sown, and there's that little semblance of doubt floating around in our mind, then the devil comes in with sort of the full court press. And he throws you a lie. Because, you know, the woman did a pretty good job standing up to this doubt. She says, well, yeah, he did say that. He said that we could eat from any tree that we wanted, but we can't eat from that one in the middle, or we would die. We can't even touch it, she said. So yeah, I'm pretty sure God said, stay away from that one right there. And then full court press. That's not true. That is not true. Surely you will not die, verse 4. And surely you won't die, the serpent said. And then, believing the lie that was built on doubt, then the devil comes in with the kill shot, the buzzer beater. And he says, in fact, not only will you not die if you touch that tree or eat that fruit, but let me tell you, it's the best tasting fruit in all the land. Oh yeah, that one's good for eating, let me tell you. Once you bake a pie with that tree from the middle, you'll never want anyone else's pie. It's good stuff. And not only that, but when you eat of that tree, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be so alert and so aware of everything around you, you're going to know good from evil. You know what that tree was? It was the first cup of coffee. That's what it was. Yeah. You know how like you feel lifeless and sort of, you know, I can't just do this without, and then you get some coffee and all of a sudden eyes are open, ready to go, you're perky, you're playful, you're ready for life, right? That's what happened here. Their eyes were open. It was like a monster drink, that apple. And all of a sudden, your world is open. All of you know what a monster drink is? Some of you are looking at me like, what? It's a monster drink. It's really clever, actually, that a monster drink, okay, has the connotation of a monster, or actually even the M. I'm really going off track right now. But that M... is the Hebrew symbol for Satan. Did you know that? Right. It's like every time you take coffee or you take some sort of energy drink or something that perks you up and wakes you up, it's like, yeah, you're now aware of all of life around you. It's desirable. And then, not only that, but you want more, right? That's the apple. That's the tree of the forbidden fruit. And oh, it's good. How many of you like your coffee? Well, your hands went up fast and high. The devil, in his plan to defeat us, sows doubt, throws us lies, and then tempts us with the desire of something good and tasty and addictive. And once he has you there, he's got you right where he wants you. And you're defeated. You are defeated once you believe those lies and follow that desire. Life that God intends for us is a life that's not intended to be defeated by the deceit and cunning lies of the devil. God has defeated that devil. God says, no longer will you full court press and defeat my people. I am going to fill them with truth, goodness, and I'm going to guide them in the ways of everlasting forever. In fact, there's no better place in Scripture that illustrates this, that has also been illustrated so beautifully and somewhat heart-wrenchingly in the movie of The Passion. Now, it's hard to say that the movie The Passion has any good parts to it, because it is all so really haunting and heartbreaking. It is a movie, though, that if you've never seen it, I do recommend it. Parental discretion advised. In fact, my good friend Aaron Lego, who pastors over at Grace Chapel, they'll be having a viewing of it here in the season of Lent. I'll get you information. If you haven't seen it, maybe you ought to see it. And it's good to see it in groups. But the best part of that movie illustrates the fact that Jesus is not content with the serpent, the devil, defeating his people. That Jesus came to defeat that deceiver. And I think it happens in the middle of, or not the middle, but in the beginning of the movie, where Jesus is weeping and crying, presumably in the garden prior to his arrest. Okay, and coming up upon Jesus where he just feels unsuspected and doesn't see it coming, you see this serpent kind of moving in on Jesus. And the scene shifts and goes into the movie with Jesus doing something. Do you know what Jesus does? You know what he does? As he catches that serpent coming up behind him. Got it? You know what he does? Crushes it with his heel. Oh, that's good stuff. That's my Lord. That's our Lord. He defeats Satan. He crushes the serpent with his heel. That's the life that we have. That's why we are undefeated. Because we claim a Lord and a Savior who has defeated the one who seeks to sow doubt, throw us lies, and tempt us with desire. And when the devil is defeated in our lives, and we claim on and hold on to Jesus, that's when we find victory. I want to conclude my message today with a quote. A quote from a book that I read when I was first a Christian. When I was really not all that crazy about the idea that a devil existed, thinking it was just for the movies. I read a book by a guy named C.S. Lewis. Have you ever heard of him? Good stuff. Tough stuff to read. But he wrote a book, a brilliant book. It's a novel called The Screwtape Letters. By show of hands, anyone ever read it? A couple of us. Well, Screwtape is the name of Satan, of a devil. And Screwtape writes letters to his nephew named Wormtail. and other minions who are in training to be devils, serpents, Satans, who will wage war upon mortals, that's us, to try and distract us from God, who in the book is referred to as the enemy. Pretty brilliant stuff, isn't it? So you're reading a book about Screwtape, who's a Satan-like figure, writing training manuals and letters to his nephews and his minions, training them to trip up the mortals so that they would be distracted from Screwtape's enemy, God. And one of my favorite quotes in one of these letters that Screwtape writes to his nephew is this. It's funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. But in reality, our best work is done by keeping things out of their minds. Think about that. We always think about Satan feeding us lies, filling our minds with doubt. And of course, that is one of the tricks of the adversary. But their best trick is to keep things out of our mind. What might that be? What would the adversary want to keep out of our hearts and minds? If he's the peddler of lies, he wants to keep the truth out. The truth of life in Jesus Christ. The truth of God's Word. The best way to become undefeated, the best way to stand against the ploys and schemes of the devil, is to fill your mind, just as you're doing right now, with the truth of God's Word. Amen? There is a Redeemer. Let us stand and sing.